Hellcast episode number 3. I'm Reaper, and we've got ourselves a pretty cool episode lined up here. We're going to have King Folly of Deceased calling in. I'm really excited about that. I've always had the pleasure of talking to him, but never actually the pleasure of interviewing him, so I'm really looking forward to that. Got a cool festival to announce, and as well a little bit of news about Hellcast, what's been going on behind the scenes or whatnot. We're going to be doing it weekly now, so thank you to everyone that's been listening and contributing and just, you know, writing and telling us about what you think about the show, so really appreciate that. Working on some new segments, nothing I can really mention right now because we're getting that solidified and getting all the details worked out, but definitely something that if you tune in regularly, it's going to be paying off for you. You're going to be having a chance to win, and that's about all I'm going to say about that. So, needless to say, let's go ahead and get into some music here. The first band of the show is going to be Holy Death with Whispers of the Soul.
Right.
That was Question of Madness with The Waters of Unreality, coming from the album The Dark Corners of the Mind. And a little bit about Question of Madness, it actually contains members of The Chasm, which I think that for any side project of the band, that would be very suiting for them to do a doom metal project, seeing as though they write pretty epic songs with The Chasm. But I'm not really a big doom fan, and I really enjoyed that album. So thank you to Question of Madness for submitting that. And before that, we had Apocalyptic Raids with The Unquiet Grave, coming off Volume 4, Phonocopia album. And before that was Holy Death, Whispers of the Soul, coming off The Night, Death, and the Devil. So I have a festival coming up here to announce, and I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation of it. It is the Messe des Morts Festival. I'm sure that is very incorrect pronunciation. Nevertheless, that is going to be held in Quebec, and that's presented by Sepulchral Productions, and that'll be at the Catacombs, 1635 St. Laurent, Montreal, Quebec. And that'll be on November 25th and 26th. They'll be featuring Absu, which is the Canadian exclusive show, Inquisition, which is also their Canadian exclusive show, Infernal Stronghold, and many more. If you'd like to find out more information on that, go to sepulchralproductions.com. That's S-E-P-U-L-C-H-R-A-L productions.com for more information on that. All right, got some more music coming up here. This is coming from Flame, and this is their latest album released by Hell's Headbangers called March Into the Firelands, and what we're going to hear is Destructive Saint. Destruction!
did nothing. Should flesh and evidence.
So joining me on the phone, I have King Folly of Deceased. Hey, King, welcome cheers. To the show.
Hey, cheers to everybody. Cheers to you, brother.
Deceased has just done a new album called Surreal Overdose, and it's available on CD, and soon after it's going to be on LP by Hell's Headbangers. And with the album, I've noticed you've played drums on every record up until the last album, As the Weird Travel On, because you had health issues. And much to my surprise, on the new album, you're playing drums again. So does this mean that you have improved your health?
Health was good. Actually, I could have played drums on the last one, As the Weird Travel On, but I kind of got away from playing drums ever since we did October 31 back in 1995, the other band I do, and I started playing and singing live and not playing drums anymore, just going out and playing live. I just started getting more into being the front man and stuff, mm-hmm. and we picked up Dave Scarface to play drums for us, and he did such a fantastic job that about 2000, I think it was around 2000, we said, I'm just going to go out front for Deceased too, you know. It was always so, like, holding me back playing drums and singing. I had so much energy and I just felt like I was stuck to a damn drum stool, you know, the whole time. So we went and played Wacken. It was weird. Both bands, October 31 played at Wacken Festival in Germany in 2000, for the first time ever I sang fronting the band ever, the first time. Then Deceased went and played Wacken the next year, 2001, and that was the very first time I ever fronted Deceased without playing drums. So it was weird. That was like the guinea pig for both bands, but I loved it so much and just doing so much since then. It's just the way it felt right. So when I had my stroke back in 2004, first 2002, I had a lung problem, and that kind of screwed me up actually worse than the stroke. When I had the stroke in 2004, my left side was nerve damage, but I was still pretty much hanging on. I had to do physical therapy and things like that. So when we started writing the new record, I was actually playing drums and writing all the stuff in rehearsals. But Dave was part of the band. I said, you know what, just play the drums, bud. You know, just come record the drums and do all that stuff, and it'll be that much easier. But then I realized that it took the time for me to write it, then him to learn it while I was writing it. So it was kind of confusing to him. So by the time we got to the new record, I was like, hell with it. Let me just record it. And then our drummer now, Eric, I was like, you can just listen to the record when it's on and pick it up. It's that much easier for you. So that's pretty much why we did it. I missed playing the drums a little bit in the studio. Don't miss it at all live. But health-wise, I'm fine. It just turned out. It's something in my heart that I was born with. It's some kind of birth defect that just kind of throws blood clots around. But if I stay on blood thinners, which I'm doing for the rest of my life, then I should be fine.
Ah, that's great to hear.
Yes.
So it's been a while since Deceased has done a new record, so a big enough gap for things to get switched up a bit. And through those years, Deceased has seen a big, you know, big changes with the lineup. You know, had the departure of Mike, Mark, and Dave. Having known this, you know, there was no surprise to see Deceased live with an entirely different lineup. However, with the new record, Mike and Les are on it. So what exactly is the situation with Deceased's lineup?
Well, basically when Mike joined the band back in 1990, he always said, I like to be a studio guy. I'm not big on playing gigs, but I'll do it for you guys. So for the next 15, 16 years up to 2006, he played live. And it wasn't like pulling teeth, but he didn't really like doing it. Sometimes it interfered with other things in his life and stuff. He's just not a traveler as far as that kind of stuff. He likes to do the studio. On the other hand, at the time, Mark used to like to play live, but didn't used to like to record. So it was kind of like I was like 50. Everybody gave their all, but it was like, you know, Mike didn't want to be on stage, and Mark didn't want to be in the studio. So kind of what it was is what it was. So Mike decided he was going to retire from playing live in 2006. So we brought in a guitar player, Shane Fugel, who's been a friend and supporter of the band for years. He's come to shows since he was probably 14, 15 years old, and he's in his 30s now. So it was an easy thing. He was a longtime friend, longtime, just close guy to us, and it was no problem. So Mike got to keep playing the record for studio and writing material, because Mike pretty much writes most of the riffs. Mm-hmm. And in return, Mark got to play live. Well, after a while, Mark just lost interest, and that's a whole hour and a half conversation itself. Mark just didn't want to play in the band anymore. He gave up all music, moved away, doesn't live in the country anymore, and he just didn't want to do it, and it kind of came out of left field. So now we had Shane leading the live charge, and so I was like, well, we need to get another guitar player because I need to play live. I like doing both, and I got to play live, and I started freaking out going, we got to play. Well, at the same time, Les decides to move to Texas, our bass player. So he's in Texas. So now it's me in Philadelphia. You got Shane in D.C. You got Mike, who's not playing live, living in Virginia. And Les is in Texas. You know, it's crazy. And David stopped playing for us, so we really didn't even have a drummer then. And so I was just like, I don't know what we're going to do, but we I didn't want to throw some crap together and call it Deceased because I'm totally into 100% dedication. And, you know, it's got to be right or nothing at all. So I talked with a buddy of mine named Matt, who's been a longtime supporter of the band, a little younger, but always supported us. I thought he was a great player. And he came in and started playing live for us. So we had that going. And then Shane said, let's bring Eric in. He was a drummer in his other band, Biovore, and this other band, Bionic Man, he had. So I said, oh, absolutely. Eric's another longtime friend. Good guy, great player. So we got right back to doing things, and everything was totally running good. And then Matt decided he couldn't do it anymore because he's got a couple degrees in teaching and stuff, and he wants to get into teaching. So he just didn't think he had the time to do it. He was living in Boston too, so it's getting crazier and crazier.
Yeah, yeah.
So Les is now in Texas, and we have a guy named Chris helping us out on bass because Les can't just jump back and forth from Texas to come play Ohio over the weekend or play New York. So this guy Chris, a good friend of ours too, has been helping out on bass. Well, to go to this year, we want to start playing out again. Last year we did like about 60, 70 shows on our 25th anniversary with Matt. Matt stopped playing last year. Well, I talked to my buddy James, who plays in Vermifuge, and you know, he's another longtime friend, supporter, knows the music, always at the shows banging up front. I said, you want to come play some shows? And I knew he could play guitar because I'd seen Vermifuge, who actually I signed to my old Metal Records label. So we got him in there, and that's what you saw last weekend was that lineup and stuff. And, you know, Mike's very happy being home. Mark's happy not being a part of it anymore. You know, he's got his own new world, and it's now me, Shane, Eric, James Danzo playing guitar, and my buddy Chris helping out on bass while Les is in Texas. Now, when we go West Coast, Les will be playing bass for us. But it all works out well. I mean, we don't get a lot of practice, but everybody comes in with their homework done, and, you know, you saw the show. It's tight. It's very tight. It's very precise, even under crappy PA situations, as you know. But it was great to get back in the studio with a new one, which is actually me, Mike, Shane, and Les playing on it. This is Shane's first album playing guitar for us, and with me on drums. It felt right. It was great. It was years in the writing and making, and most of that album is so outdated now. I think the newest song is 2009, you know, so we got 2 years of stuff to make up for, and we want to get on the new record and get right to it because we feel like we lost a little bit of time there getting everything adjusted, everybody getting married, moving, leaving the band, leaving live, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So how do you manage to write and rehearse with everyone being from various distant locations?
How we did Surreal Overdose was we made a base at Virginia, and so I would drive from Philadelphia down, which is about a two-and-a-half-hour, three-hour drive, down to Virginia. We go practice at a place that had gear already set up. We used to go from about 5 till 9 at night. I'd leave about 11, go down, see my family that still lives in Virginia, then go to practice, and then turn around and come right back home afterwards. And we do that about twice a month. We did that for about 3 or 4 years, writing Surreal Overdose, from about 2007, not about 2006 to probably 2010, maybe late 2009. We did that. And we just put it all together. I'd come on with tapes, and I'd, you know, rearrange stuff and that's my job pretty much, is arranging everything. We just get down and get the basics down. I get it on tape and come back, and we just do it, and then we talk on the phone, and we'd be ready for the next one with notes and stuff like that and get right to where we left off.
So it sounds, you know, hearing all that, it sounds pretty self-explanatory why it took so long for the, you know, such a big gap.
It was just getting things into place. And, we, you know, we're not a band to just rush and get something out to say we have a new record. It's got, we started the band to write music and create music that we liked and enjoyed. And, you know, and this is a time in our life where we're all in our 40s now and stuff like that. Well, I've got kids. Mike's got kids. You know, Shane's got bills. And, you know, he just bought a house. And Les has got married and living in Texas. There's just so much going on that you got to do it. You got to place it right. You got to make time for everything. If not, it's a mind fucking, and that's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's going on with October 31?
We're actually going to be playing a show in November here. It's actually a festival we started doing. We did it the first one last year. It's called Defenders of the Old. Me and this guy, He Wang, started up, and we did one last year where it was like Tyrant from California, and we had Sentinel Beast played a reunion thing with Debbie Gunn singing, and some other bands like Aries Kingdom played, and Blood Feast played. Well, this year we're going to play the one-off again this year, and it's Tension, who's reformed to play this show, their first show in, I think, 15, 20 years. And Midnight's playing, Destructor's coming down, some of the Ohio bands are coming down to play. And so October 31 is going to do this annual thing this year. And as far as writing a new material, we have a new record in the works called Bury the Hatchet. We've been planning to write for a long time, and me and Brian are planning to get together, our guitar player, and get that together and release it, and then hopefully do some more shows. We're actually playing Maryland Death Fest next year, too, which is crazy.
Oh, excellent. So how does the lyric writing process work for Deceased? Because most of the songs are horror-based, you know, off movies or stories. So do you see something or read something and it spikes your interest? Or
Exactly. Spiking interest. It's just something that if something feels right, I'm like, you know, there's plenty of horror things that I like that just don't work for what we do. But if something comes to me that really, you know, feels fitting, I do it. And that's what I've always done. I mean, early on, I was writing just tragedies and terrible things in my mind and all that stuff and making words rhyme. And then kind of as we got going along from, like, say, Luck of the Corpse, which was very simplistic lyrics, to something a little bit more intelligent, I think, from Blueprints for Madness, and into the concept of Fearless, and then into the horror tales complete with Supernatural Addiction. Just learning to write better and things like that. I've always come up with titles. I tell Mike, this is what I'm working on, this is the idea I'm going for, and then we'll write together, and I'll put the lyrics to it, and things like that. But as far as influences and subject matter, it all just depends on what I see and when I see it. I, you know, like, for example, Supernatural Addiction was pretty much done and written, and we had the last song on there we were starting to write, which was originally something different than LA's Dementia, which was, we were so taken back by the Blair Witch Project when it came out that I had to do something about that movie then and there. You know, it was fresh and it was like trendy and, you know, popular at the moment. It was something that really struck me as an old timey like boogeyman movie, and I had to do it then and there. So it's just how it comes and how it falls into place. Like for the next record, we're already beginning things. The next record is going to be called Ghostly White, and we're returning to the horror ghost tales because that's one of the things I love the most about Deceased. My favorite record, Supernatural Addiction, so I'm in the mood to go there, and then, you know, Mike enjoys that too, so, you know, that's, we get a mindset for our next record, and that's where we'll go with it.
And is it going to be musically kind of the same as Supernatural Addiction?
I think so. I definitely think that this Surreal Overdose is more crazy over the top. I think the next one's going to be a lot with more melody, and, you know, it'll be a little bit more, I don't want to say laid back, because that's not the right word, but it'll be Deceased 110%, but I think it's going to go for different twists and turns with a lot more old school heavy metal influence on it, as well as the speed metal, which is definitely a part of what we do and everything in between.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of which, I've noticed, it's, you know, starting with mostly Fearless and Dead Machines, that there was kind of a more diverse with speed and influences to the music, and obviously definitely on Supernatural Addiction. Is that something that's intentional, or does that just come naturally?
Yeah, I think it came natural, and I'll tell you why. If you go back even to our first demo, The Evil Side of Religion, which is 1986, there's a song on there called March of the Cadavers, which I wrote, and it sounds more like Man of War than it does Sodom or the bands of the time that we were really influenced by, you know. And we always had that heavy metal influence, and there's a song on there called Sick Thrash because we had the thrash influence. We always put it on our sleeve. If you listen to the intros to some of the songs on there, like Mentally Ill, for example, there's stuff going on, but we're young. We're impressionable. We're most of us are fucking high and drunk. You know, we're so fucking young. It's just crazy that as we go on, we learn to play better. When you learn to play better, you know, you write more. Now, we don't want to go too far out of what we do as Deceased, because then we feel like we lose what we're about and things like that. And there is a point where I think a lot of bands lose what they're about and just branch out to the point where it just kind of it's too far left, too far right. And as we got older, I think, like, for example, the perfect one is when you said Fearless. Blueprints was so crazy, so intricate, so, like, much going on that when we came time to write the new one, Mike had said, you know, I like to write a lot of old school riffs and stuff. Would that be a problem with you guys? Because before, I'm just writing from more of a death metal format. Yeah. And I said, you write what comes out of Mike Smith's guitar, and we'll make it work. And the first thing he came together with was Silent Creature. And I said, this is great. This is working. And me and him, just from there on, which was 97, we just started, me and Mike, taking the horns and writing pretty much everything together, me and him. So when you get to Supernatural Addiction, you start to have layered three guitar harmonies, things like that, or like As the Weird Travel On, which has a lot of that. But, you know, I also like to put the savage speed in it parts, though I also like a good chorus. You know, I like everything from early Sodom to the Carpenters. So it's a wide base in my head of what's going on.
Right. But never very, like, you don't put it the record in and go, oh, God, what were they thinking?
And if anything comes out like that, or if we put stuff on tape and we're like, go back and I'll hear, like, you know, that just don't work. It'll never get past the, you know, the one or two practices we adjust. And we try things just to be, you know, try to think we're clever, intricate, odd, off the wall, whatever. But then some work and some don't. There's things we tried that just never worked, and there's things that I wish we tried that went to tape less than what they could have been. But that's part of being a band.
Right. So somewhere along the grapevine, I've heard about a project that you supposedly did with George Corpse Grinder Fisher called Ghoul. What is the deal with that? Is that misinformation?
Like, that's misinformation. I never did a project like that. I actually saw that somewhere online too, and I was like, I never did that. I've known George for years. We never did anything. We made a fucking, you know, laugh somewhere together. That's about as far as it went. We never did a music project at all called Ghoul. Not at all.
Any idea how that, like, that would even come about?
You know, it's hard to say. Knowing so much about the underground people, it could have just come out in somebody's message board, you know, and it could have got something wrong. I mean, I've done a lot of, you know, goofy things and fun stuff with friends. Like, for example, with Don, then we did the old days, we had this band called Gut Wrench, where I came to Terry Weston from Dream Death's house, and we just, you know, got together, and I wrote some riffs, and here's me playing a drum machine, and here's Don screaming, or Greg Beal screaming into a microphone, and then it's Gut Wrench, people asking about that, or my one-man band Weirdo, which I did for fun, beating on Bibles in 1988, because I got a guitar at a pawn shop for $25 and recorded a couple songs with some goofy titles to it, and made a little fun video just to be goofy, just to have fun with it. But that Ghoul thing, I've never knew, I have no idea where it started or how it started, but, you know, it's easy nowadays, or at any time, for people just to get things confused and it becomes, you know, almost fact.
Especially if you put it on Metal Archives, then it's like, oh,
then
it's fact.
Yeah, that's totally, absolutely wrong.
So do you feel that Deceased was once on Relapse, do you feel that not being on a record label and being tied down to a contract, it makes it a lot easier to do what you want with the band, or is it really make no difference either way?
You know, the thing with Relapse is when you sign a contract and you're involved with somebody more outside of than the four guys, of which were Deceased at the time, me, Mike, Mark, and Les, then now you're working with other people's money, other people's time, other people's, you know, and intentions. So no longer is it just solely your vision. It's more people's visions. And for a while that was fine, and we learned that, you know, this is the business side of it. Just go with the flow. But when a lot of lies, bullshit, and just literally just crap came with it year after year. At first it was like, you know, now and then it became like more than 50% of the time. Then it became almost all the time. I said one day, there's no fucking way I go on with Relapse anymore. It's just impossible. These guys are liars, bullshitters, you know, just too many false promises. And I said, we have to get away from her, because the breaking point was when we did Supernatural Addiction. They brought in Simon Effemy. They paid him a good amount of money. He came over. He's a great producer. I thought the record sounded great. I was very happy. We got a nice buzz going, and we were ready to roll on. They even put us on a semi-tour with the Contamination Tour of 2000 with some other bands like Exhumed and Cephalic Carnage Origin, etc. And things were rolling good. And Matt's like, oh, yeah, things are looking good. You guys are doing good. I love what you're doing. The sound's getting better on records. You're a great live band, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, what do we do now? You know, let's keep the ball rolling. And he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, you could do a new record. He said, yeah, let's get a new record out. But then he seemed like he wanted to rush it. And I said, well, you know, the first thing is, we don't rush anything. You know, to write a new record's going to take a couple of years, because that's just how we are. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. Well, what about an EP? And I said, okay, we could do an EP with a couple of new songs. It'll take us about a year to write two or three new songs. And then we could maybe, you know, go with that. And he's like, well, that's not enough stuff. And then he said, well, why don't you put some covers as well? I said, all right, that's a good idea. It'll keep the name out there. We'll keep the ball rolling. You're looking at from 2000 into 2002 now. You're looking at a two-year period. So we get that done, we write a couple new songs and all this, and when we're writing the new songs, I'm rushing the band. I'm like, come on, you know, we're supposed to record this in March. I remember this, it was Christmas, and we didn't have much stuff done yet. We started on one song, And I said, we got a couple months to write a couple songs. And now I'm saying it's no longer fun. It's becoming like somebody's pushing me in the back of the head, all of us, to get shit done. And now we're starting to rush songs together. We're throwing things together to call them songs to get an EP out at a deadline. And it's no longer like what we started the band about. So we'd argue amongst each other. And at the end of the day, we'd have to say, you know, look, this thing is us arguing. This is us arguing about something that somebody else created. So when that EP came out, which they gave us no budget for at all, after we did a great showing with Supernatural Addiction, and then they're promising us a tour and all this new merchandise, and nothing happens, and the EP sits and sits, and then they're complaining that it's not moving at all, yet I'm hearing different things from the record label than the actual owner of the record label. And I was like, well, you know, I got to talk to this guy direct, and I'm on the phone, and I'm like, you know, I'm talking to a blatant fucking liar, and this is Matt Jacobson I'm talking about. So I told the guys, you know, what do we want to do next? And they were like, you know, this is fucking old. This is tired. Let's just fucking leave. And I'm like, I'm totally with you. Let's just fucking get out of it. And we just left. And Matt was like, you know, we tried our best. We didn't know how to promote you. We didn't know what you were. Are you a heavy metal band? Are you a grind band? Are you a thrash band? Are you a death metal band? What are you? And I was like, we're just deceased. Just promote us as a band, not this genre or that genre. This is what we do. Right. And he wished us well at first, and things were fine, but then after it was said and done, you know, he still was running his mouth and making up more bullshit. I mean, when things got past that point, they wanted to, his words to me were, if you ever need help with touring, or, you know, if Relapse can use Relapse's name for something, you know, don't take any time to call me and ask me, you know, get right to it. So I never really asked him for anything, but then we would do CDs for other labels. Like, the perfect example is when we did the Luck of the Corpse, 13 Frightened Souls, 2-on-1. They gave permission to do it. We put it out. Well, 2 years after it had been out, it's in their mail catalog for like 24 months, I get a letter in an email from their lawyer saying that, who's this guy? And this is a bootleg, and this is unofficial, and Relapse was unnotified about this. And they want to sue this fucking guy over this supposed bootleg. And I'm like, I have to tell the guy, this is how fucking stupid Relapse is. That fucking thing was okayed by Matt 2 years ago, and it's been in your fucking catalog for fucking 2 years. And the guy's like, oh, I never saw this. This is new to me and all that. And I'm just like, I literally said, you're a fucking idiot. You know, that's how stupid people are. They're supposed to be professionals that are getting paid money to do their job, and that's just what it all came down to. I get things done. I'm not lazy. I can't stand people that just don't take the time to do things right. And that was it. I was like, you know what? Fuck them on all levels. Before we were still on the label, and after, I was like, I just don't want nothing to do with these guys. I just cannot handle it. It's just too much stupidity. I felt like we were dealing with the Keystone Cops, you know.
So,
to answer your question full circle, yeah, it's much better to do our own thing. When we first left, we went with a buddy named Ray Lopez in Thrash Corner Records out of Puerto Rico. He wanted to put some money up. He loved the band. He put the record out, but it's just a guy out of his house. You know, a lot of labels, it's just a guy out of his house, and he did all he could for us. But I figured after that, why don't I just do it? I know everybody there is to know, and, you know, I've got a lot of circles to move in. Let's just start our own deceased thing and just do it our way. And then we started it with the Fearless Undead Machines reissue with Streaks from the Hearse Records. And with the new one, we went and did this as well. And a friend of mine, Dan Paddock, wanted to get in on it. And, you know, he's a good guy, and I don't mind, you know, sharing it with somebody like that, as far as they know that we're running the show and they have to take, like, you know, the right-hand man, if anything. We have to be in charge of it, because that's the whole reason we left Relapse. And Dan's been nothing but fantastic, as well as Hell's Headbangers with everything, with the vinyl out through the years. It's not a problem. We do like a friendly, either a verbal agreement or a handshake, and that's it. Like, they press the vinyl, they give us our copies, they do their thing, and that's it.
There's yeah, no absolutely. Headache.
Not like, oh, I need this, you got to change this artwork's funny. Supernatural Addiction, perfect example. Blair Witch stick figure on the cover. Can't use this, Artisan's going to sue us. Got to take that sample off, Artisan's going to sue us. This and that. Started changing my thanks list when I put off Fuck Off to Morbid Angel or something. They wouldn't put it on there. Oh, we deal with Morbid Angel. We deal with their management. You can't put that on your CD. It's no longer my CD, it's their CD.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now they're changing my shit. I put sticker on Fearless on the Machine. No Pantera fucking, you know, no fucking Pantera riffs, no Chugga-Lugga, just death metal from the grave. And they fucking took the sticker and, you know, took it off the fucking thing. We can't print that on a sticker. Well, some underground, you know, do it your way fucking record label that turned out to be.
Oh, that's great. So it sounds like we got some exciting stuff to look forward to from Deceased in October 31. How about Doomstone?
Doomstone sits in limbo, and it's probably best we do. That was done for fun and to mock that black metal of the early 90s when everybody was taking things so seriously. And I was just like, you know, this is just getting ridiculous. Somehow we wrote some good songs, and people dug it enough to actually put up money to record 2 records with the band. And it was fun while it lasted. And I still talk to the guys, and, you know, some of the guys are deceased guys and October 31 guys. You know, it's not a real big secret. We just keep it a secret to play like that pile driver exorcist kind of role. Who are these guys? Who are those masked men? But it sits in limbo. I wouldn't mind doing something one day for fun, but who the hell knows?
So we're going to hear something off the new album then, Cloned, Day of the Robot. Can you tell us a little bit about the song? And
it's Robotic Village Part 2. It's a song that me and Mike put together. I don't know, we just got one day, Mike's doing this little intro thing. I say, that kind of reminds me of Old Priest, Victim of Changes or something. You know, it would go good with a mid-paced kind of silent-y creature-ish thing. And we got it together, and then somewhere in the middle we put in some, what we call Robot Thrash. And we made that weird little section in the middle, and it went from there. Good song, getting a lot of good support. People seem to be digging that song a lot on the new record, with the people that have picked up the new record. And I'm proud as hell of it. It's a tale about these people that are kidnapped and put into a factory and trying to be cloned by these people that have no idea what they're doing, which is pretty much what the world is nowadays, just a bunch of people not knowing what they're doing. So that's kind of where we stand with our politics, sci-fi side of things. It goes no further than there.
Cool, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show. It was great chatting with you, and hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. Take care.
All right, you too, bro.
So as you heard, this is Cloned, Day of the Robot, coming off Surreal Overdose. That was Dishammer with Under the Sign of the D-Beat Mark, coming off the record Under the Sign of the D-Beat Mark. And before that, we had Putrid Scum with Psychosexual Prelude, and that was from the album simply entitled Putrid Scum. And before that, Deceased with Cloned Day of the Robot. I got a little behind there. I skipped the band I didn't get to announce because of the interview. Before the interview, we had Hell Commander with Fuck the World. That came off of a split with Sodomizer and Hell Commander called Making the Devil Work. So coming up, we've got some Witching Hour with Barbed Wire Lust off their new album called Past Midnight, and then Bullet with Rebels Return coming off the album Bite the Bullet. I'm going to go ahead and close up the show here. Hellcast's website is hellcast.hellsheadbangers.com. And remember, as always, and I think I'll say it until it's embedded in everyone's brain, do not put the www dot on there, otherwise you will be fucked and you will not be able to get to the website. So it's strictly just hellcast.hellsheadbangers.com. The email is hellcast@hellsheadbangers.com. Please, if you're going to submit anything to me, especially if it be music, it needs to be a 192 kbps mp3 file or better. So with all the technicalities aside, let's get back to the music and the last bands on here. Again, this is Witching Hour off their latest album, Past Midnight, and this is Barbed Wire Lust. And then after that, we'll be hearing Bullet off of Bite the Bullet, and that is Rebel's Return. Enjoy, and I will see you next time.
by hellsheadbangers.com, reminding you when you need metal, go to